The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, it's already March 3rd. I know that sounds like the beginning of the month, but they fly by. 2016, we're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice. He's a regular on here every month. We just had a great show the other day on sprinting. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com and on Facebook. STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. GrasslandBeef.com. That's our good friend John Wood. I've known John probably for 15 years. You're going to get the full benefits of CLA and omega-3s, grass-fed and grass-finished. He also has grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. PlanAYearOfWorkouts.com. This is a workout logbook to plan for your success. You can get it there at Jason Fulner's site, or you go to Amazon Prime and get it for $5, no shipping. It's exceptional. I use it. It's great. StrongerGrip.com. That's our friend Ryan Pitts. They've been in business for 10 years. They make high-quality gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and you've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of us hard street. You know, all of us want to seek strength. It's incredible. And this leads right into our contest. They had built me, Ryan built me a beautiful, huge sledgehammer with the FBC logo embossed right into the head. And this weighs 25 pounds with nothing in it. It's the smoothest sledgehammer I've ever struck a tire with, and it loads to 83 pounds a shot. Now, here's what you do if you want to win this beast. By March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, that's the cutoff right there, take any video you like strength-wise, and I don't even care if you're on the show. I want to get everybody involved. All you got to do on the subject line when you upload it to YouTube is type in FBC and stronger grip with a dash and what the description is. If you'd like to go down in the box and give more detail, that would even be better. But make sure you put your email address in there, because if you win, it's not there. We go to the next one. So please remember to do that. And if you win, you get to come on a three-way interview with Ryan, myself, and whoever wins on Motivation and Muscle. So right there, you're going to be having a good time. So take it, win it. It's a $350 hammer. Also, 8xclub.com, that's our good friend Donnie G. and Fardino. They're adjustable exercise clubs and maces. They make these clubs and maces for the AKA Vintage Strength Games also. And as Donnie said, he's a proud sponsor of Motivation and Muscle. On FiorelloBarbellCo.com, don't forget the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. All you got to do is give us your email address, read the 10 paragraphs, commit, and take action. Also on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success, the Winner's Circle. Those are the two biggest products I have to date. I've got probably a half a dozen more sitting on the shelf. These have got to move big time. Strength Times Power is all shot in HD. I narrate the whole thing, and Dennis does all the movements. And I use the majority of those exercises with everybody, plug them in and plug them out. I knocked 43 pounds of weight off him in 6 months using that routine. The Winner's Circle is all audio. It's 12 modules. I'm speaking about my philosophy, what I'm doing in the beginning to presently, all in between, sandbags, stone lifting, iron boots, really the right way to build your arms, so to speak, instead of just doing preacher curls, okay? Obviously, too, there's pressing, there's One thing I love, the old Heist shrug. If you're not familiar with J.C. Heist, that's a big thing in there. You want to build, you can build traps like a gorilla using that formula. So take a peek at that. That's all on the FiorellaBarbellCo.com. And last but not least, sponsorship, gigantic here. It's a big nut every month to do this show. And for $500, I do 5 to 15 shows a week. I was just telling Scott, we'll get into more with Scott shortly. But, you know, I'm doing minimum of 12 shows a week. There's nobody in the industry doing that. We are dead on about what we want to do. And $30 goes to MDA. Now, that is for a flu shot for the kids. Even though it's been a funny winter up here, they're very susceptible to colds, which turn into pneumonia. And if you're not familiar with this, my brother Jimmy died of a pneumonia, and he had muscular dystrophy. He had Duchenne, which is by far the nastiest version of MDA. I mean, it's bad. I mean, he should have never probably lived as long as he did, but my parents are the greatest, man, and he was always treated just like everybody else. There's nothing wrong with him mentally. So we have him here still with us in spirit, so that goes for the kids. And be part of our family. Every time, if it's not somebody new on the show, it's more people come in. We want you in here. We want to help you. We want to give you solutions. We got such great people on here that can help you out too. There's always a way to get a hold of them. If you can't, you get a hold of them through me, whatever you want to do. Like I always say, we're going to be around for 25 years, and we would like everybody to come on in with us, and I guarantee it's going to be the best 25 years of your life. So come on, join up with us, and let's work together. Well, you know my feeling about new people, and we've had a lot of new people on here in the last couple weeks, and today we have another new gentleman on here. We have Scott Shetler here. I'm going to give you a little bit about Scott. I saw Scott out there, and I just kind of chased him down, and it's been other people have made comments. You should contact Scott, so I decided I was going to do just that. Now, Scott's been in the industry for 18 years, okay? Health and fitness, obviously. He owns a gym, and it's called Extreme Performance Training Systems. And I believe he's down in Atlanta, Georgia. If I'm incorrect, he can correct me on that. This guy is a kettlebell guy, power lifter, martial arts. And obviously, too, and he reminded me, I forgot all about it, he's a vegan, which is very interesting because, you know, we know plant-based foods, you know, we might eat some, but most people are going to tell you you can't build a big body. Well, this guy's got a hell of a build on him, and he reminded me, Melody Schoenfeld, who's a regular on here, did too, and I forgot all about it. So, Scott, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Why don't you give everybody anything you want, bio, your website, and we'll just kick right into the show, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Just like you said, I've been in the industry for a little over 18 years now, and I'm down here in Atlanta, just north of Atlanta, in a small area called Norcross. I'm about 2 or 3 miles north of the perimeter on one of the main roads coming up out of the city, and I've been down here, I think I moved to Atlanta in 99, so it was about a year after getting into the industry from Ohio. I was actually working for the YMCA in downtown Akron, and I went to school at Kent State, grew up in Ohio, and decided I needed to get to some better weather, man. And after a couple of these winters down here, I decided I hadn't moved far enough south. But so I got into the industry. I started my own business back in 04, and I opened up my own commercial training center in 08. I was training people out of my basement. I had a small powerlifting group that I was working with, started taking on some private clients, and started just building my gym out of my basement as I was working for another fitness center down here. Then I moved into a commercial facility in 08 and been in my own place since 08. And I've just got a little kind of a office warehouse, you know, mixed use type of place where I've got my facility now. And like I said, just north of Atlanta, my websites, I've got two. I've got a personal website and then my gym website. My gym website is extreme-fitness.org. So extreme-fitness.org. And then my personal website, which links to all the projects that I do, is scottshetler.com. So just my name, scottshetler.com. And that's where people can go if they want to learn a little bit more about what I do.
Cool, man. Well, everyone knows when I bring somebody new in, obviously we're kind of all over the map, but we really want everybody to get to know Scott, because I told Scott before we come on, you know, we're going to go with the idea he's going to like us and like me enough where he's going to say, hey, I want to come back, and then we'll really get into some nitty-gritty. And if we can keep going with Scott, we might have him on monthly for all, you know, if he can fit us in, and we can do that, because that seems to be the trend here, and I couldn't be more pleased and more happy to have these gentlemen and women on here, because I was telling Scott off air that we are really changing lives out there, and I can't tell you that I had a guy come over here who does some cooking for my mother when she has parties, and he was like, now this guy isn't even a weightlifter. And I was over here yesterday, and he said to me, I got to tell you, your podcasts are so inspirational, and I just love to listen to them. Now, this guy doesn't even lift weights. He just likes the idea of the positive attitudes coming out of here. And I'll be honest with you, we are just kick-ass, veins full of testosterone, and ready to rip all the time. So, Scott, I'm just going to start off with a few basic things because I think it's important, and this is what I would like you to ask me if it was the other way around. Like everybody, what person, I mean, you know, we always hear about Arnold and the big strong men, you know, was there a person or your dad or somebody, because I know a lot of people say their father influenced them, what influenced you to get into physicality, to want to better yourself? And you know, just go with whatever you got. It's fine.
Yeah, I wasn't like a lot of kids, you know, growing up, I kind of looked at the bodybuilders, you know, so I was in high school through the late 80s, early 90s. I graduated in 93. So I'm looking at the bodybuilders at the time. You know, Lee Labrada was big. Dorian Yates was just coming on the scene, winning his first Olympia. So, you know, I'm looking at the bodybuilders because that was really all that we had access to back then, was whatever muscle rags were out in the newsstand and stuff like that. Because I was the typical, just the typical skinny, you know, I got into ninth grade. I think I was weighing about 135 pounds. You know, my background was in punk rock, you know, heavy metal, skateboard culture. I was a band geek. I wasn't a natural athlete, you know, so I was just your typical skinny kid who wanted to put on a little bit of size, you know, start building muscle because, you know, mainly just insecurity, you know, you just being the skinny kid on the block. I was never, you know, getting into fights. I was friends with everybody, you know, I mean, it wasn't anything like that. It was just, I wanted to be more comfortable with myself. And I thought by building muscle and getting into weightlifting and things like that, that it would, you know, maybe build some self-confidence and I just have a little bit better self-opinion, you know?
No, definitely. So when you initially started out with free weights, I take it, so it was more of like bodybuilding, and then obviously
absolutely,
you progressed to more of the power lifting, and just kind of take us through the whole litany of what you did to the point where you are. Cause I know, I didn't see a bio out there. I mean, you told me you lift stones, which you and I right there are going to have total respect for one another right on that note. But you know, and then I'll go in with a few things with me, but you know, tell me kind of like the lineage. Okay, so you're bodybuilding. Did you go right back? What got you next? Was it the powerlifting that you got into?
Yeah, so I got into, you know, and this is kind of cool. I started working out at my local YMCA, which was in Madison, Ohio. And this is kind of a blessing because they would only allow, if you were under 18 years old, you weren't allowed into the Nautilus room, which is where they had all the, and they were the old chrome Nautilus machines, you know, with the maroon, you know, pads and everything.
Yeah,
if you were under 18, you couldn't go
brother.
There. Yeah, yeah. So we were stuck to the weight room, which sat right over the pool. So it was always smelling like chlorine and hot, and it was all just free weights and the big dudes. That's where they all lifted. So they kind of took me under the wing. You know, they'd see me doing something. You know, I didn't really train with them, but if they saw me doing something wrong, they would correct me. And they just kind of let me figure things out for myself. So I was following, you know, just whatever programs I could. Of course, everybody had Arnold's Encyclopedia Bodybuilding. So that's where I kind of started out, you know, just doing the reps, doing as much free weight work as I could. I didn't, you know, it was just going and lift. And it wasn't really like not a focus on strength. It was just focused on wearing myself out, trying to put more weight on the bars and stuff. And then after high school, I actually enlisted in the Navy and my training goals changed a little bit. I was doing a little bit more cardio, was doing a little bit more running. I never got to the point that I liked doing that kind of training, but I was just doing it. And then I kind of got back into bodybuilding at one of the, on the base gym, about the last year or so. And that was just kind of what I knew as far as lifting went. So as I'm getting out of the Navy, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do in my life. I go back to Ohio, I go enroll at Kent State, I start taking classes, you know, my majors are changing all over the place. But the one thing, the one constant that I always had was I always going to the gym, I was always working out. And that's what I learned about the, you know, personal training industry. I didn't know much about it before. I didn't even know that there was such a thing. And the guy that ran this, he ran this little 24-hour joint down in Kent, Ohio, called OptiFit. He was a really cool guy. He told me about the National Strength and Conditioning Association. He told me about ACE. He told me about these different certification organizations. So I just started doing, you know, back then that was before everybody had internet and stuff. So I just kind of had to ask people and find out where I could order study materials. And I decided I was going to take the ACE personal trainer test. So I ordered all the study kit and I started studying, and I failed the test the first time I did. The first time I took it, I passed it the second time. I landed a part-time job at the Akron YMCA in Ohio, and I just started working. And that's what led me to I was reading this magazine that was popular at the time called Muscle Media 2000. It was Bill Phillips's publication. And I started reading these articles by Charles Poliquin, and they're called Questions on Strength. It was his strength column that he had in the magazine. And I'm like, this guy's awesome, man. I loved what he was writing about. I loved the stories about him training athletes and stuff like that. And I thought, wow, that's really freaking cool. So that just really interested me because it was a little bit more specific than just training for physique. You know, I mean, here he's working with hockey players and football players and such. And I thought that was really cool. So I started studying everything that I could about strength and conditioning. I thought I was going to, you know, get a degree to go be a strength and conditioning coach. And that was kind of the track that I was on. And I ended up not wanting to do that after spending a day with the Falcons. I saw what the job was like, and I decided that I didn't want to do that. And I went kind of into the private sector, and that's what led me to opening my own training center. And right about the time that I was getting interested in all the strength and conditioning for athletes and stuff, I came across Dave Tate's website, elitefts.com. And that kind of led me into I'd made friends with a guy named Jack Reap on a kettlebell discussion forum that we were on through Dragon Door. And I started talking to him a little bit about powerlifting. I was really, really liking the deadlift in particular. At the time, I was still, you know, I was still studying a little bit of martial arts. I was doing some rock climbing. I'd gotten a little bit away from bodybuilding. I was interested in more performance-based training. And that's what opened up the door for me to powerlifting, was my love for the deadlift. I just really enjoyed doing that lift. So I started talking to Jack, and he starts telling me about the Westside Barbell Club, and I really got interested in Louis's work, and I started buying everything that I could. And that's really what opened the door for powerlifting to me, was just talking to Jack Reap, and then, you know, reading articles and stuff on Dave Tate's website. And that's what really led me into the strength side, you know, learning about powerlifting and strength sports and things like that.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I don't think, I mean, even if you're not doing martial arts, to me, it's just like, once you're in something, you're always in it, whether you're not doing it or not, because we all know sooner or later you're going to return to it, even if it's for a short spell. But being that you've done martial arts, okay, you know, I know you're familiar with kettlebells, obviously, and all that. You know, and they're all married to each other in one way or form or another. You just can't remove physical out of physical. I don't care what you're doing. I mean, that's just my opinion. But do you feel, in your experiences and, you know, as a trainer, gym owner, all that, when we talk strength, okay, all right, powerlifting, let's face it, I'm not a big gear guy, but one thing I've always admired about powerlifting, it's always that one rep max. And I think we've gotten away from a lot of that because, look, you want to lift stones the way I do it, yes, you have to have strength, endurance, strength. I'm not putting that down in any way, shape, or form. And we've gotten in recent shows, like with Andrew Derniak, we had Marshall White on recently, Chase Carnes, and we kind of got into, and Ken Nowicki, we were big on it too, this one rep max. You know, how come no one's really talking about a lot of that anymore? It's always something on top of it or whatever. And I still like that might of, okay, let's rip off the biggest deadlift off the floor, or let's take the biggest squat we can muster. And look, I think the bench press, I like the floor press. I don't do anything on a bench anymore. If I do any type of benching, I do close because, you know, squeezing the pecs helps me a lot when I'm walking with stones, believe it or not. Tricep, lat, a lot of things you don't think about really help with that whole thing. But to make a long story short, the one rep max to me, I just love doing, and I'm trying to bring this back more and more on these shows because we're doing a lot of things like that and getting people kind of charged up and influenced. To you, with all the things you've done, Do you like that one rep max? Do you like that when something's grinding down on you or you got to pull it off the ground? And I know you, I'm sure you do plenty of endurance, but you don't hear about it. That's what I'm saying. It's like, do you like that, or do you think you need to have everything mixed up, or is it good just to go from one thing and then go to the other? What's your feeling just like on a big one rep max?
I like the lift, and I think that's what draws people into strength sports and powerlifting is the challenge of putting more weight on the bar than you've ever had on there and making that rep. It's not about, hey, could you do that for 5 or could you do that for 8 or whatever? And I know, especially nowadays, there's so many different programs out there and some focus on those submaximal efforts and stuff like that. But, you know, I think, you know, you're into lifting weights to lift it, you know, that one time. And that's why I like the West Side methodology so much they max out every week. And I've got, and I can't stand the people who don't know anything about the method, who've never implemented, never gone up there and trained with Louie or talked to Louie or anything. And they all have these big opinions on the system and they don't know what they're talking about. But I've got nobody in my gym uses anabolic.
Yep.
They all lift raw. I'm the only person in the gym that uses equipment. Everybody in my gym lifts raw, and we max out every week.
That's awesome.
We max out lower body. We max out just like Louis says. We rotate exercises to prevent accommodation, and we max out on a variation of the deadlift, the squat, or the bench press every week. And nobody's got issues. Nobody's adrenals are fried. Nobody's coming in looking like a zombie. Or anything like that. You know, we control the volume through the accessory exercises, and then the other days of the week we do the dynamic effort work, the 50-60% with accommodating resistance and the volume, and there's no issues. All my lifters are fine. They're professionals. You know, they've got 40-hour week jobs. They work. They've got lives and stuff like that, and nobody's coming in here with adrenal fatigue and all this. I've never seen any negatives to maxing out on a weekly basis because your body's going to auto-regulate it. You know, if you're a little run down, you're going to lift to that day, you know, what you're capable of that day. And the beauty with keeping different maxes at different exercises, aside from it preventing that accommodation, is you're always, you know, you've got that handful of those lifts that help raise your max. So you're always trying to break records or come close to it. Yep. So I've never had an issue, and I love the long rep max.
Well, I'll tell you this, Scott, there's two words I hate. And number one is overtrained, and the other is hard gainer. We did a show the other day on it was basically, I worded it because I'm really tired of hearing it, is there's no such thing as a hard gainer. And I know there's people out there that have made a lot of money off that word. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just their terminology for things. But to me, that's a big negative.
I'd much rather. It's what it is.
It is, and I'd much rather twist that around to a good word and use it that way. And, you know, I've been putting this on all my anything I write these days, and people just go nuts when I put on. I said, all we do here is dominate, obliterate, and dent. You know what I mean? Because it's like I'd much rather hear that than say I'm overtrained or I'm a hard gainer. I'd be like, get the hell out of here, man. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. But, you know, what I've been doing here a lot now, I don't know if you've ever read much by John McKean. He's an all-around lifter. He just turned 70. Now, he used to write for the magazine Hard Gainer, which was a phenomenal magazine Stuart Robert had in the 90s, who was a former writer for Perry Rader's Iron Man. Why he named that, I guess he believed in that, but the guys that were writing weren't hard gainers, okay? And I got the whole concept of it. That's where I learned about John, and I've become John. We've touched base again since I've been up and running here. You know, he loves the show, and I respect and admire this guy. Like, he's one of my favorites, and I learned so much from just with the one, you know, single training, you know, big dumbbells, thick handles, thick bar, the whole deal. And he's an exceptional writer. Well, We've been going back and forth for the last year. I want him to get him on. He's like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if people would enjoy hearing me. I said, well, you and I have been talking for an hour, and I'm all charged up and all this. So we start talking about shoulders, and I banged my shoulder up last year for the first time. And I still got stuff a little bit, and that's on the side where I had to have the left bicep repaired. So I don't like that when I got stuff going on there, but they didn't find anything and this, that, and the other thing. I trained last night, no problem, blah, 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 blah. You feel a little bit, but that, you know, I've pummeled myself for years. So you're going to have a little bit, and if you don't, I guess you haven't worked that hard, but that's all a whole nother subject. He says to me like this, he goes, "You do all your stuff dead stop off the rods and the rack." I said, "Yep." He said, "I got a movement for you. I want you to try." And he goes, if you like it enough, I'm going to start doing it too." I said, "Okay." So you'll get down to whatever parallel is in your power rack, and you'll throw your rods in, and you'll put your – I would suggest if anybody wants to try this, if you have an Olympic bar that maybe you got some knurling a little worn on it, I would be more inclined to use that, because the way I'm going to tell you to execute, this is – you'll know why. So basically, you're not going to use your arms to squat. You're going to get under this bar, and you're going to – it's called a tricep quad squat, dead stop. So what you're going to do is you're going to get that bar as close as you can, and you should be able, no problem, to the two front posts or whatever you're going to do. So, you know, you got four posts in a power rack. Get it closest to the set, either front and back. Now, when you do that, you know, load your bar up, and obviously you're going to have to get your groove with it, because anybody that knows, the bar is going to probably try to whip on you first and move. And I can tell you, the first few workouts, I had road rash on me like you wouldn't believe, because when you take a neural bar and it's trying to roll down your back or on the side of your shoulders, I've got peeled skin off the one trap right now. Well, last night I did it. It was the third workout, and I crushed 301 and a half off me like nothing, all right? And now I'm getting the groove. The bar's not going left or right on me. I'm getting the center when I come out. And that's quite a lift. I mean, when all you're doing is pushing off your thighs with your triceps and standing up, think about that with 300-plus pounds on your shoulder. So I'm telling John about this, and I get an email from him the other day, and he's like, this was before last night. He said to me, "You got me so fired up, man, I'm going to fire him right in." Now, this is a 70-year-old guy that is one hell of a lifter still. Big power rack guy. So he and I now are going to start doing a lot of articles on this, and we've kind of thrown it out to everybody and said, why don't you get in on this? Start sending some video here and try it. You know, don't be afraid to try it, because, you know, you hear that word all the time, core. I don't call it that. I call it midsection. Let me tell you something. You can start standing up with some big weight balanced on your shoulders and traps and pushing off your quads. What do you think your body – I'll tell you what, I'm not bullshitting you when I say this, and I've been lifting for a long time. I swear it looks like I've put a quarter of an inch on my traps already, just trying to squeeze that bar up. So the point I'm getting here, Scott, is, you know, I don't buy any of this stuff. You know, if Louis Simmons works for you, if John McKean works for me and anybody else out there, by all means do it. Now, people are saying, why the hell, what does that prove to not use your arms? I said, well, if you got a sore shoulder, obviously I still front, because I need the front squat to lift stones. It's one of the best to do. But the point is, you don't listen to the rhetoric out there. You go in there and you believe in what you're going to do, and you be patient, because I'm telling you right now, the first night I did that, that bar was literally coming off my shoulders, hitting the rack, everything. This guy looked like he never even touched a weight in his life the way I was training. Well, balance is everything, and I can't wait, because the goal is to try to get to 500 as fast as I can with this, because the 3-plus didn't even touch me last night. It's just a matter of getting the coordination. So what's your feeling on something like that?
I think it's awesome, man. I mean, if you can find a variation of a lift or some lift that challenges you, that, you know, like you said, that works so much more in the body, you know, like you people throw the core around all the time. That drives me crazy. I call it torso. But yeah, man, I mean, if you can find an exercise that I think the key is, and I'm a big fan of exercise variety, as long as it relates to the goal. You know, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, if I'm working with my power lifters, and, you know, we do an exercise variation that's not carrying over, then it's gone, you know. But, I mean, something might work for one guy. So, you know, I've got a guy who's elite in the 114, 123 weight class. We're working on his elite at 132. He's 4'10". And then I've got another power lifter who's like 6'3". You know, just the body dimensions alone, you know, I mean, they've got different, you know, strengths. They got different weaknesses. They can't train the same. So you got to find what works for you. And if the variation of the movement is working for you and it's helping you accomplish your goals, then right on, man. That's what it's all about. You know, for you to go out and lift stones, you got to do, you know, all the lifts that you do have to build you up to that challenge. You know, so if it's not working your torso in the right way, your legs, your back the right way, then it's not going to benefit you.
Well, you know, you hit it right on the head when you're talking about hitting a max every week, because Bill Crawford and I have gotten this a lot. And I'm going to try this probably the last few months before I go away, because he's done it extensively, where all he did is train stones almost every day in a row. All right? Yeah. And people are like, no way, you're overtrained, you're going to get hurt. No, that's a bunch of shit, because, you know, you hit it before. On any given day, you know what you got. So say the day before I lift a 350-pound stone, whether I lift it and walk it, whatever I'm going to do for that day, I had a super day. Well, the next day I come back and 250 feels heavy to me, so I've not fully recovered. So I'm going to use my head, because I want to keep growing on this routine, and I'm going to incorporate whatever I can handle. Now, am I going to make it easy? No. But I'm not going to go out there and blow myself up or injure myself to prove a point. And this is where I think a lot of people get in trouble. And I'll just give you, for instance, think of all the people that have got into with bad trainers. They've gone to clubs that, you know, supposedly they got a trainer and they see him maybe for 3 or 4 days. And I've seen it. They walk in, they act like they don't even know you. You're disappointed. You throw in the towel, you quit, and you're like, it sucks. Because how many people, you know, will tell you that they've had bad experiences, this, that, and the other thing. And that was one of the reasons, besides many, why I got into doing the show here, because you, like you and I are talking right now, we're already giving solutions to things, all right? We're giving you an avenue to either, you can contact either one of us or anybody on the show, or you go and find out for yourself. And that's what I've always wanted to do, because there's so many people locking their heads and saying, I don't know what to do, or I'm paying this and I'm getting nothing, or I paid all this money and I got injured, or I quit because I couldn't stand it anymore. And it's like, when we're talking about, you know, like Louis Simmons routines, we're talking about tricep quad squatting. You know, I'm getting another thing, you know, and I know you know this. I mean, I'm going to start doing Jefferson lifting again. I love it. I'm going to start doing it initially out of the power rack so I can start it at a decent weight and just keep working it down to the floor. I mean, I've also talked to John. I think I'm going to get into, and this will build monster mass on you, but it's going to be another balancing deal. I want to start doing the deadlift with an Olympic bar on each side of me. Obviously, you're going to grab it in the center, and you're going to stand up and deadlift with it. I got to tell you, Scott, I'm always a pretty pumped up guy with everything. I love this stuff. I the passion I have for whether it's the business or the show or going out in the yard. When John gave me that routine, and it's not like I'm some guy that's only been training a few years that just would get enthused because it's something new. And, you know, I can remember when we were starting out, this guy we had, Craig Morrison, he was a great lifter. And I remember we'd go into his health food store and we were good friends and we used to go down and train at his house. He was quite a bit older than us. Super guy. And I remember we'd sit down and say, you got a routine? What do you think? Oh, yeah. And he whipped this thing up, and it didn't matter. You'd go in there, and you'd go bananas the next workout. That's how I felt when John and I talked about that new squat routine. Now, I have squatted 3 times in the last 6 days. I never do that. Now, granted, it's not the massive stuff I usually move, but let me tell you something. At that range, 300-plus, I thought was a pretty respectable beginning, and we're going to keep growing on it. Plus, I'm doing that, and I'll do that now once a week, and obviously the big front squats at all different heights on the power rack. We already kind of talked about how you felt with variation and things that work for one and not the other, but what, you know, this echoes again to what I'm saying, these big, heavy lifts, man, these lifts that are producers that, you know, that most people have gotten away from. You know, we get into this stuff about dipping and pullovers and the bent row, how important, if you want to be a great stone lifter, you have to learn how to do bent rows. You can do dumbbell, you can obviously do barbell. I do a lot of bent rows with stones because I like to dig my fingers into them because it's so paramount, especially you go to Iceland and try to lift something that's got no handholds in it, and you go bananas. But so, you know, I, obviously I've gone through a lot of stuff here, but what is your position? I mean, obviously, what do you think? Do you like a lot of the older movements? Do you get into them? Have you ever? And if so, tell me what you like about them or you don't like about them.
I mean, it's not so much like, you know, there's been any certain, you know, one lift or type lift. I definitely, I didn't get too into, I guess, what you would consider the odd lifts or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Like you were talking about the Jefferson lift and some of the, you know, those types of lifts. I never really experimented too much with those. I played around with the hack squats, obviously not the machine, but the way, you know, George Hackenschmidt did them, the deadlift behind the
absolutely.
Back. Played around with those a little bit in the past. But nothing, you know, nothing too crazy, but, you know, just to kind of to your point, you know, where you're talking about like squatting three times in the last 6 days and this, that, and the other, you know, something that you brought up there really, you know, I think a lot of people miss, you know, when we talk about working up heavy and doing a max every single week. And I touched on it earlier, you know, talking about preventing accommodation and stuff, but you lifted, you know, 300, you know, just a little over 300 in that quad and tricep squat, which probably isn't even close to a squat max, but for that movement, it was a max. And I think this is the thing that people forget. And this is why you don't max on the same lift week in and week out. By doing a variation, it might be a maximal effort, but the stress on your nervous system is way different. And that's where, you know, that's where you're preventing that accommodation. Because like, let's say you could squat, you know, 600 is your one rep max, but you
right.
do this,
right.
you do this quad and tricep lift and you do 300. Well, it might be a max in that movement, but you've squatted 600, so it's only half your best squat, so it's still not the same. Even though it's a max for that movement, it's still not the, you know, your nervous system can handle 600 in the squat. So I mean, by using exercises that where their max is much less than your squat, instead of just focusing on exercises that allow for a super maximal effort, that's one of the things that I think people miss, and they just grab, like a lot of the powerlifters I've worked with, you know, they like squat in the high boxes because they get that overload, or they like pulling off the rack or the blocks all the time. It's like, no. You've got to do some variations that put you in the supermax range or submaximal range. You've got to do movements in the harder positions too. You know, you just can't use the variations that allow for overload all the time, or else you'll most certainly burn out, you know? But going back, yeah, I mean, there's never been, and this isn't really, you know, you talked about doing the bent rows. When I was getting into lifting some of the natural stones around my one training center, one of the exercises that I would do for the bent row, and I saw this, I think it was in Milo or something where I saw this, one of the guys was doing, he would put like a 2x4 on the ground and he would stack plates up on it, and he would do bent rows with 45-pound plates.
Yep.
So there wasn't a good
rows.
Handle
yep.
on it. Yeah, and I was doing those, like those a lot, and then I was getting, and granted, this is a little bit more of a, it's not really a big lift, but I really got into hub lifting for a while. And my goal was to lift a 45 York, and I worked myself up to doing that. So I spent a lot of time early on working that lift as well. But I mean, I don't have one. I love deadlifts, but I mean, I don't have one, you know, pet lift that I try to do them all and see what works for me. And sometimes I get more out of certain lifts, you know. So I mean, it just I don't marry myself to one thing, man. I just try to keep open minded on the lifts. I like to try different things because, you know, I might find 6, 7, 8 lifts that work for me that might not work for you, you know, and that's why I like Louis' methods. You know, I mean, it's not a set in stone program. I mean, there's obviously that template there, you know, you're working the dynamic maximal and submaximal effort lifts, but there's a lot of room to customize that program based on your strengths and weaknesses, you know?
Well, yeah. And the thing is, like you said, you know, you got the template there. Now it's up to you to build the template. You know, you have the base there. And that's what we always talk about. You know, like we talked about with the show, you know, Scott's on here for the first time. We're building the base. Scott's been around. A lot of people know of him, but maybe not all my audience does. And that's no disrespect to him. But we want the guy to come back and we want the audience to really get in tune here. And contact Scott if they're down in the Atlanta area, or contact them if you need to consult. You know, this is what it's all about, because we're bringing this type of caliber of individual in here where we feel that not only are they going to be good with you and I going back and forth, but everybody out there is listening. And it's like, if someone says, holy cow, I found somebody now in my area and Scott can work with them and help them, that's what it's all about. You know, the problem I see in this industry more than anything is this. I think there's a lot of one-trick ponies out there. If you concern yourself with social media, you could get burned pretty good with a lot of it. I believe what we are is the most authentic show out there, because there's nobody on here doing what they're not talking about. And I think that's very important, because your reputation is everything. And as soon as you taint that, you're ruined. And I won't let that happen here, because it's too important. Because I can think back when I was a kid, it was like, yes, yeah, some of the older guys helped me out, but I had to learn an awful lot of them on my own. And they used to kick our ass in the old Y's and all that. We didn't fool around, man. We were wise guys with them, and we'd pay for it. But you know what? It was all part of, like, earning your bones. And eventually they helped us out. They became friends with us, you know. And sure, those were important things. And it's like, that's what we're trying to establish here, where I might not be – well, go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
I was just, you brought up a good point there. You know, how important was that period that you were going through where, you know, and I don't think anybody wants to do this anymore because of, and I think social media can be a great thing. I think the internet can be a great thing, certainly for business, but nobody wants to learn how to train themselves anymore. Nobody wants to learn, you know, nobody wants to, and I hate to say pay their dues like I'm some old, you know, guy or whatever.
You're right, though, man.
I mean, you figure stuff out on your own. Like you said, you know, I would go to the Y, I'd work out on my own, I'd try things. And then the older guys, I wasn't training with them. They were just basically keeping an eye on me. If I was going to do something
That's
stupid,
right.
they'd call me out and they'd set me straight, but they weren't giving me programs. They weren't telling me what to do. I think it's important to go out there and discover things for yourself. You know, learn to train yourself. And everybody wants a program nowadays. I mean, it's all about, hey, are you, and it's no disrespect to these programs, because I think as programs, they're very good. But it's like, you know, are you doing Cube or are you doing 531? It's like, what's your method? Well, develop your own method. You know, maybe you have to start out with something like that, maybe to get a foundation or just get to, you know. But I mean, learn to train yourself, you know. I mean, I think that's so important, man.
Well, Scott, you know, it's funny because when you talk about that, I had trained with my brother and my buddy Joey, and Joey was just like blood, even though he wasn't. And we trained for quite a while, and I started getting into the dead stop stuff, you know, with the squats and the overhead, and obviously, you know, pulling to whatever area I wanted to with a deadlift, you know, and doing high pulls and, you know, all the good stuff. And they didn't see any value in it. And I was starting to kind of break off from them more and more, because that's what I wanted to do. That was the next phase. And that turned into a very ugly ending for 10 years where we didn't speak. And I ended up building a thing right in my garage here, which is humongous. I mean, the garage isn't big, but you'd be like, how can you put another piece in there? We've come out to the driveway where we've got a third of the driveway is all stones and tires. And on the other side, we've got 6x6s under the frost line lagged right in the garage wall where we can do partials with the Hoosa steel stones. We can do flat dumbbell benches out there with these. They use them for electrical businesses where it's basically big, thick cable that comes down and breaks like into a Y, and it's got loops in it. And you can put your dumbbells through there, lay on your back. They're suspended. You press them, you get caught. You let your hand go and crawl right out from under them. So, because I'm alone so much, I have to think on those lines, okay? Yeah. But my point of the matter is, did I want that to happen? No, but in hindsight, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'll tell everybody why. You had to be responsible. I had to be real creative because I was alone. That's when the power rack came in. That's when Anthony DiTillo came big into my life. That's when John McKean came big into my life, where they were such proponents of the power rack and what it could do for you and the safety factor. And that was the most important, because I didn't want anybody to say, where's Eric? And they come out and find me next morning and I'm dead. Right. Exactly. So, you know, things can be a blessing in disguise. And when we're talking about, well, okay, I can build the best program for you, but that doesn't mean you're going to have success. All right. Yeah. So what this did to me is it put me in a spot, and it was like, okay, guy, you're either going to keep continuing what you want to do, or you're going to have to hang it up, or you're going to have to go back and try to make amends. But at the time, it was so ugly, that whole mess, that there's no way that was going to happen. So I chose to go after it, and here we are today. You know, now we're lifting stones, and we built a thing to pull a stone with a chain the other day to a tire that, like, Bud Jeffries had out there, but we did a little bit different. I want to get into some backlifting next year. I want to go and lift some stones in Spain. There's an awful lot of things to do. And, you know, it's all this all this, you know, 15 years ago spawned this whole thing other than, sure, you know, obviously job loss and all that. But, you know, watching, especially my brother, you know, with that awful disease, I mean, I don't care who you are, that that laid a tattoo on my head internally that I'll never forget, because if I've ever had one fear in life, it's always been I never want to lose my legs, man. You know, I mean, I saw the best of the best with Jimmy and the worst of the worst with him. And let me tell you something, you don't screw around with your days and your time. Yeah, we all have days and all that, but boy, I snap out of shit quick.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I seen it firsthand. I know what it's like to be around somebody that is dealing with something that is not only tragic, it's death. I have no idea if he even knew what his mortality rate was. But getting on to this whole thing, sometimes the things you think that are the worst end up becoming the biggest blessing to you. And I mean, we're all friends again, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen, Scott. I don't think I would have
sure
went to Iceland. Okay.
Yeah.
So anybody out there that's saying, okay, Scott can design me a super duper program, or Eric can. Yeah, we can, I'm sure. But the thing is, I can't do your program for you. All right. And I, what I have a lot, and this is what I want to ask you, because I know you'll tell me straight up too. I've asked other people. I have a problem at times, kind of, and I'm not trying to sound like an elitist either, but there are times with people that I have a very hard time coming down to that level, especially when I see that shrug of the shoulders and it's like, oh, well, you know. So what's your feeling on that, my friend?
It's everything, because no matter what, you know, super program you're following, no matter what, you know, if you don't have the desire to get stronger, to get better, to get faster, you know, whatever physical thing that you're trying to do, if you don't have just a burning desire to get better at it, it doesn't matter what you're doing, because you're not going to get the benefits from it. You know, you could be falling, you know, it doesn't matter the program at that point. You know, it would be way better to have tons of motivation to go into the gym and just tear it up following a less than stellar program than to have, you know, and I don't believe there's the optimal pro, but you know, but if you had this program that, you know, could guarantee these big results and to go in and half-ass it, you know, I'd take the guy that's got the heart and the drive and that's going in there. You know, I mean, that's always going to be better than, you know, programming is second. You know, it's the drive and the desire of the person going into the gym and training that's most important. Because, you know, let's say there's people that have done exceptional things on what we would consider, you know, less than stellar or even less than scientific programs, because they were just like, screw it, man, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get freaking strong. Oh, hey, look at, you know, you talked about, you know, people giving you a hard time about doing the bottoms up stuff, or the dead and stop stuff. Had they never heard of Paul Anderson?
You know? Exactly.
Come on. Exactly. The strongest guy that's ever lived. You want to talk about somebody that worked outside of the world of convention, you know, don't tell me you need a fancy gym and all this equipment. That guy was doing it with buckets and 55-gallon drums and old bars and dumbbells. I mean, he didn't have, you know, all this crap. And I mean, you know, you've just got to heat. But what he did have was that desire, you know, to be the best, to be the strongest. And that's first and foremost what you need, you know?
Well, I think nowadays too, right from kids on up to adults, you hear more you can't than ever now before. We live in a society that likes things simple.
Yep.
You know, wants everything right away, and the majority of people buy into it. Now, see, I'm obviously, you made the point before, you and I are in business. We need social media, obviously, to get our products out, to get our word out. Got no problem with that. But I got to tell you, Scott, I'm not attached to a phone at all. I turn it on twice a day during business. People know how to get a hold of me, obviously, through personal email if it's that important. But otherwise, I don't need to be connected 24/7, nor do I want to be, all right? I'd much rather sit here and talk to you, even though we're a few thousand miles away. To me, that is much more of a luxury. If I could, I'd love to have everybody on the show in my living room and do a show with everybody. And I mean that wholeheartedly, because to me, and this is the feedback I'm getting, people love the idea that we talk. I mean, I've had people say to me, when you talk, on the shows, it sounds like you're right in the living room with me talking face to face. Now, that's a very high compliment because obviously whatever we're talking about and however we're verbalizing and putting it across, people feel very comfortable. And I think that's very important. I'm not saying comfortable outside when you're training your ass off or it's 10 below. All right. But if you come around me, I mean, I'm going to try to encourage you as much as I can. If you're training with me, obviously we're going to go bananas. And whether we're at each other or it's just, it sounds like it's a death match back there, that's fine with me. I love all that. I love mixing it up. I love that integration of, okay, Scott, you think I should? Yeah, you got this thing, man. And next thing you know, I'm burying it, all right? Or you're not moving fast enough, and I just scream at you, and you take off like you're lit on fire. That's what I'm talking about. Now, on the other end, I think it's very important, like what we're talking about. Not only, obviously, you can hear in me and you, there's a lot of passion in what we like to do.
Well, that comes across on your show, you know, when you get feedback where people say they, you know, they feel like they're right there. It's because you're really excited about this stuff. You love it. And you can tell by talking. And when you get two people talking or a group of people talking about that, that just raises the energy so much more. I mean, that's so much more exciting and fun to be around, you know, when you're with a group of like-minded people talking, and you really get excited. So that comes across on podcast. It's like, you know, I mean, I finally made the decision to go up to Westside and work with Louie and take some of my athletes up there and stuff like that. Man, being in an environment like that is so conducive to just getting better. And when you talk to, you want to talk, he does, man. That guy, all he wants to do is talk training. And I mean, you get excited talking to him. You see, he's been doing this for, you know, 30, 40 years or whatever. I mean, that just takes you up to a whole nother level. You know, we come back from Ohio down here, and I mean, man, the intensity in our sessions is just like, it's up another 20%, man. I mean, it's every, you know, and that's the cool thing about actually interacting with people is, you know, when you share a passion, man, I mean, it's awesome, you know?
Well, have you ever walked into a room or yourself personally and people, you know, obviously you train, people are going to look, okay? But you ever walked in a room, you start talking to people you don't even know, and suddenly one turns into four or five, and the next thing you know, people are like kind of captivated what you're doing. And I'll tell you something I feel. I listen to other podcasts and stuff. There are some that kind of now get into a political nature and a lot of gloom and doom. That's not us. I leave all that out. Everybody's entitled to their opinion here. But our opinion here is we just want to drive the hammer right to the anvil all the time. And it's about training. It's about getting better. It's about giving everybody out there inspiration. It's about getting involved here. You want to get involved with us? I want you to come on. I've said this a million times. I don't care if you lift a 500-pound stone or a 150-pound stone. You're always welcome at my table. Always, because everybody has something to give. That's the problem I see out there now. Everybody wants to be this, that, or the other thing. How about being yourself and going out there, like you were saying before, go in there and just squarely kick the world in the balls and say, I'm here and I'm going to deliver. Because those are the leaders, the guys that have it easy, that got the potential, like they always say, quote unquote. I always say this, what's going to happen to you if you should get an injury? Are you going to be able to come back from something like that? Do you have the wherewithal because it's been easy for you? Everybody's been praising you forever, but what happens suddenly if a lot of people aren't praising you anymore? That's when I want to see what you're made of. I don't wish that on anybody, but a lot of times that's a make or break. I've had friends that were exceptional Olympic lifters. They blew their back out, never came back. You know why? Because mentally they broke, and they'd get back so far, and suddenly they'd have another injury. No good. So that's why I like the forum we've got here. And the idea that, hey, you know what? You might not be in the room with me, but pull a chair up and listen. And I guarantee you, because Dr. Jeffrey Smith, he's a regular on here now, and he's been really good to me in the show. He's a fantastic guy. And he's down in Arizona. And he was funny as hell because he works nights in the hospital. He's an MD. And he said, man, he goes, I can't go to bed now unless I go and lift after listening to the show, because he says I listen to it when I'm going. So he says one night, I don't know who I was on with, he goes, man, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about, but he said, you made this crack, and it was funny as hell. He said, I almost drove off the road. I started laughing so hard. So when you can bring that to people, that that's exceptional. You know, we always say that, be exceptional, you know, be unique, and go out and just thrash your own way. But what's your feeling? I mean, you know, as a trainer yourself, you know, like you said with Louis, I mean, you come back and you feel like you can take the world on no matter what it is. And can you imagine if you feel that 360 out of 365 days a year, what you're going to accomplish? And think about the spread into your personal life, into relationships, into whatever you want to do, entrepreneurship, because obviously you and I are both entrepreneurs like most people on here. Just think about what you can do. What's your feeling on all that? I know I gave you
It's right on, man. I mean, I think it's important to have, you know, other people like that, you know, like people listen to your podcast and they get excited, they want to go lift, and that's something that you can share with people. You know, you can share your enthusiasm, you can share your experience through your podcast, and people enjoy that. You know, I mean, it's like when I work with people, or I write blogs, or I do my video blog, or I do these shows and stuff like that, I'll get people that contact me and say, hey man, that's so cool to hear you say that, because I feel the same way, this, that, and the other. You know, it's great to have that external, you know, stimulus that you can draw some excitement, you know, like you said, going up to West Side and training, but you know, we also can't rely on that either, you know, and like you said, as entrepreneurs, there's days, you know, where, you know, inevitably you're going to have a bad day, things are going to go you've got to be a self-motivator, man. And yeah, there's some days where you might just want to shut it down, and you might need to take a day where you just go disappear for a minute or two, but it's not an excuse, man. I mean, you have got to be self-motivated. You know, nobody, when you don't have a job, nobody's putting a gun to your head to get your ass out of bed at 4 a.m. every day to get ready to do the things you need to do to go, you know, build your business, to run your business in the network, do what you got to do. You have got to be self-motivated, and whether it's business, whether it's training, whether it's, you know, your personal relationships, you know, work relationships, nobody's going to do anything for you. So you have got to have that self-motivation. But when you get around like-minded people, man, I mean, that has the potential to take you up a whole nother level, because I don't know squat. You know, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I don't know squat, man. When I talk to people like you, like Louie, like anybody else that I network with or talk to, man, I come away so much better because I've learned something. I've learned to somebody who's had different experiences, you know, and that's why I like talking to people, because I'm like a sponge, man. You know, I'm trying to learn as much as I can, because that makes me better at what I do. You know, I don't have it all figured out, and you know, I never will. You know, so I think it's important on both ends.
And I'm with you 100%. But you know what? The nice thing is, like, the opportunity to speak to one another, the way we're doing. I mean, I've never talked to you before, obviously, so this is brand new for both of us. But the idea to pass ideas and experiences, man, you can't buy that. I don't care who you are. And I've always been a big proponent on books. I've got tons of them here. But I'm going to tell you right now, nothing, and I will repeat, nothing works like the spoken word. Okay? I mean, I can get more out with this show than I could with a book, no matter how good or bad the book was. That was one of the big reasons I did this, because I said, if we're going to touch lives and we're going to change minds, we've got to speak. And we have to have people that have a lot of experience and that like to converse. Because, you know, I've had a lot of people say, and they've come on, but it took a little bit of prodding. Even though I'm not face-to-face with you, a lot of people are not – they don't feel they're good behind a mic, okay? So these are things a lot of people have to overcome, but once they overcome it, they love it. You can't shut them up. Yeah. And I think that's a great thing because – okay, we just stepped over another big stone. You know, we've beat another barrier down. And now, you know, I have one girl on here that would love to get into podcasting because she says, you know, your personality, it's all I said, well, you got to, you know, I've had no training either. I mean, this is just something I was always very good at. I've never been afraid to speak in front of crowds. And like my mom will say to me, she goes, you know, you got a gift, because she goes, you know how hard it is for most people just to stand up and talk to even their family or a group of other people? They just can't do it. And I had a college teacher for all my business classes named Frank Klein, and he was a big mentor for me, big time. And I think we hit it off so good, obviously, because of weightlifting, but he was a semi-pro football coach at one time. So obviously right away we kind of took to each other. And I remember a third of your grade at the end, and you want to hear chairs moving in college, was you had to give up. You had to get up in front of everybody, and because it was a marketing class, and you had to either take a product that was already there or invent your own and tell everybody how you did it and how to market it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, you want to hear chairs moving, people leaving? And I stood there and I had them, and I'll tell you, I learned more about that than probably ever, because that fear people have is just a fear. I mean, to be able to get up and command a group of people and be able to instruct in a way where you motivate them and not ridicule them, and if you have to drop the hammer at times, well, that so be it too. That is a gift. And it's like I've always had a very good comfort zone, and I've always been a good listener for people. And that's the thing you need to be. You need to listen, and it's not all about you. And I think that's one of the things that is really big here. And I think that's why, you know, we've had a very, very successful run so far, and all the people here are the same way. You know, I mean, everybody brings a different style with them, but when I put you guys and gals all together, I just see that passion. I see that entrepreneurship. I see those solutions you want to offer. I see that charge that you bring, you know, that wanting to get better all the time. You know, when you've been training 20 years, I mean, most people in any industry of 20 years, they don't give a shit about getting better. You know, they just right. want to get their money and run or whatever they're going to do. So I think we're all very unique in what we do, and I love it. We bring it. So we're at the end of the show. Summarize anything you want. Say whatever you want. Obviously, give your websites out again. Anything you want, let me give all my end. And if you hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No, first of all, you know, thanks again for having me on. I really appreciate it. And
anytime.
Really enjoyed talking to you. And I think, you know, a great way to wrap up this show would just be, you know, for people listening out there, you know, don't be afraid to think outside the box and go out and figure stuff out for yourself. I mean, especially if you're somebody just getting started, obviously you might have somebody that you're looking up to or somebody that you're following. That's great. Use that for inspiration, but, you know, forge your own path, you know, figure things out for yourself, go out and try things, find what works for you, and don't be married to one thing. And that's really how you're going to get better and how you're going to carve out your own little niche in physical yep. training and strength training and performance. But I really think that would be the big takeaway, you know, after talking to you today. So just, you know,
Absolutely.
Real quick, I'll, you know, my websites again, my personal website is just scottshetler.com. And then my training center website is extreme-fitness.org. And if people just go to my personal site, they'll find links to everything that I do, my video blog, my written blog, you know, all my other sites, my, you know, projects that I do to raise money for some animal welfare organization. Everything is kind
nice,
of
man.
Attached to that website. So if for some reason somebody wants to figure out or learn anything more about me, that would be the best place for them to go. So thanks again, Eric. I really appreciate it. Been loving the show and really happy to
thanks,
be on
Scott.
With you.
Well, we're going to have you back when we get off air. We'll talk. And we didn't even get into the vegan end of it, but there's so much that I'm thinking right now we can get into, and we will explore that if that's what you'd like to do. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice. If you want the ultimate results, go to primalcreations at AOL.com or STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. That's on Facebook, grasslandbeef.com, loaded with CLAs, omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished. They also have grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Jason Fulner's PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. This is obviously a workout logbook. You can also get it on Amazon Prime for $5, and there is no shipping charge. StrongerGrip.com. Well, they've been around for 10 years. They make gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestlers, trophies they've made for ESPN, you've seen, and they make custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard-training, strength-seeking people like yourselves. And don't forget, get in on it, man. You can win that $350 sledgehammer, I think it was. It's awesome. It loads to 84 pounds. All you have to do is upload your favorite strength video to and on the line, the subject line, put FBC and stronger grip with a dash. Obviously, describe what it is. You can go down in the box, do that too, and please leave your email. You have till March 17th, and if you win, and it doesn't matter if you're a regular guest on the show or not, you will come on Motivation Muscle with Ryan and myself. So you're not only going to get a beautiful sledgehammer, you're going to get to come on the biggest podcast in the world, in my opinion, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. 8xclub.com, those are adjustable exercise clubs and maces. That's our good friend Donnie Giafardino. Go out there, tell him we sent you. Also, too, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Free ebook, just give us your email address and do the rest. Commit, take action. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. I believe that those are life-changing products. If you want to really get into something that's been, I've done every single thing that I talk about and every single thing we did with Dennis. There's no armchair quarterbacks here. Everything here is done out in the back here where we got a one-car garage that is loaded with more stuff than you could ever imagine. And then outside, man, the last third of my driveway, it is just unmerciful looking with the stones and the chains and the, I'm going to film some of it and get that up maybe even this weekend. You got to see this. Anybody that wants some atmosphere, we got it here. And anybody in the Northeast, I don't care where you are. You want to come up here, come up. Let me know. Come up, we'll do some training. Also, too, I've already talked about. Let's talk about, too, now, obviously, sponsorship. It's $500 a month. I'm averaging, I say 5 to 15. I'm averaging 12 shows a week. There's nobody doing that. We're going to be around for 25 years. Let's work together. I'm telling you, let's partner up. We got a big thing today with Nutra FX that's going to come on board with us and do some stuff. They've just begun as a supplement company, and they're very involved with strongmen. We did a lot of it through Bill Crawford, so I couldn't be happier than that. Now I'll be starting very shortly. But like I said, $30 of that right now goes to MDA for flu shots. You can save a kid's life, and that's what really matters, and that's what we're all about. And we're going to get bigger and bigger as we grow financially with MDA. And I would like next year, if we can do it this year, I'm going to invite some people up here, and we do a nice little strength medley for the kids with a cookout. It'd be great. These kids would love that. So come join our family. Like I said, millions of listeners. And be around. We're going to be here for a long time. I promise you it'll be the best 25 years of your life. We're going to have Scott back on here, obviously. So if there's something you'd like us to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP. Also, too, remember that. So you go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com or MotivationMuscle.com. Fill out the form, sign up with us, and let's work with each other for the next 25 years. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. I appreciate that. That's what we've gotten. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation Muscle. Twitter is Fiorello Eric. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to help them out. We know what words can do. You never know what you're going to help and create there. So do that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And if you're going to go out and lift, push it, press it, pull it, squat it, smash it, bend it, whatever you want to do. If you're going to lift some stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says on each side, blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path, not follow it. And here's what I love to say. Everything you do, dominate, obliterate, and dent. Go after everything. Obviously, too, I always say, we're never going to let anyone clip our balls. And as the great Russell Furr says, he says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. Russell, that was one of the nicest things I've ever had said to me, and I thank you for that, and we will say that to the day we sign off. Scott, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Hey, thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
That's not a problem. So for Scott Shetler, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We're going to get Scott back on very soon. Like I said, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Tell 100 of your friends about us, because I'm telling you, we're coming for you one way or another. Thanks, everybody, and have a great rest of the week. Have a good day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.